So welcome. It is the 21st day of May, and we are gathered to receive the blessings of Christ on this beautiful day. As always, I like to warm up the community and open the doors for people to bring in their requests for blessing or their expressions of gratitude for blessings they've received. And I see that Mary is on the call. Hi, Mary.
Hey, Glenda. Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly.
Okay. Hi, Glenda. I love you. And hi, everybody on the call. This is Mary from Ohio. And sometimes my Mary stories are long, so I'll try to be brief. But I just wanted to share such an amazing blessing. A couple weeks ago, I had said this really big prayer, and I was asking God to bless my family and just bless things that I didn't understand, which I needed some realization on the fact that it's okay that there are things we don't understand, that everything is really in God's hands and we can do our part, but all is well, and this is a spectacular, miraculous world. So anyways, I made this little shrine in my backyard, and a lot of things happened when I did enact that prayer, but a lot of my prayers were directed towards Yeshua and his amazing mother, who I go to all the time, because I just I think both of their stories and their blessings, they affect my heart so much. So anyways, so last night, I don't sleep much because I work night shift. And last night at about 4 a.m, this mama deer, I didn't know she was a mama at the time, but this deer came to my house, and I live in a really crowded city street where everybody's trying to get to the freeway, but a deer came to my back door, and she laid down and she had a baby. Oh my gosh. And then the mama left. She left at about 10 o'clock, and so I was so worried about this baby, but after a while the baby started walking around, and the baby walked around by a fence and just kind of curled up, and then it started to rain and the mother was gone. Anyways, I Googled what mamas do, and usually the mother deer will leave and then come back, but it started to rain and the baby left. So the mother came back and the baby was gone, and I started to worry again, but then I realized that I hadn't prayed, and so again I went, you know, into my heart and I asked God to look out for this mother and baby, and I realized really what a blessing this world is, and that mother knew she was safe, and that the baby knew they were safe, and that sometimes we don't see the behind the scenes things that go on, but I'm going to ask for a blessing on this beautiful mother and baby who gave birth outside my door, and what a precious thing that is. And, you know, and sometimes I worry about the world, but oh my gosh, birth is still happening and blessings continue to flow, and I am just grateful for every drop. And so I want you guys to all hold the mama and the baby in your heart that they're reunited, but what a gift they gave me about so many things. So,
That's
my story.
Oh, we will, for sure. And that's a great story, Mary. Thank you so much for sharing.
Okay.
Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to ask for a blessing? Something dear to your heart? No pun intended. Well, actually, a little one. I would love to hear from... Okay, here's Eva. Hi, Eva.
Hi, this is Eva. And Yes, I would love to ask a blessing for myself and my music. I've been wanting to write music. I've done a couple of songs that I was inspired, you know, a couple of years ago, and then I did a Palm Sunday song a couple of years ago, and then I just wasn't getting anywhere with it.
Uh-huh.
And so I remembered that I had heard Doreen Virtue, who has written a number of books on angels, and say that you don't really need to have a big block of time to write a book. The way she wrote her books was just to spend an hour every day on her writing.
Mm-hmm.
And she got all these books written.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know what? Maybe if I did that with my music, maybe I would get somewhere with it. And I told that to Charlie. He thought it was a great idea. And then, as you know, he cannot speak to me since he had a stroke, and he was trying to tell me something this one night, and I just wasn't getting it for a while, and it was like, uh-huh. Well, go over to church to do this. And I said, well, I have a piano at home. Why should I do that? And although when you get away and specifically do it, that can sometimes help, and I thought maybe that was his idea. But then his idea really was, when I finally got it, that we would both go to church. He would go upstairs, and I would take him up into the sanctuary, which is upstairs, and he could sit there and meditate, and I would be downstairs at the piano in the fellowship hall doing my music. So,
yeah,
so,
idea.
So this week we did that and came up with a song.
And great.
Actually, too, I got a melody, one melody first, but I couldn't get words. I don't consider myself a poet. And they just weren't coming. And then finally, I think it was Wednesday, I said, well, why don't I try another melody? So I went into a different key and went into another melody. And then all of a sudden, words just started coming, and I got the song.
Congratulations. That's wonderful.
Performance for church. We will do that next week. But they all liked it. And it's very simple, and it's a catchy tune. And just has two parts, because I have a very small group. And this morning, for example, I had no altos, and so I don't always have parts. I said, I need simple music, it sounds good, and that's catchy and easy to learn, and new stuff, because there's so much old stuff that's outdated uh-huh. and worn out. And so, so finally, it just came, and so I want to be doing more of that, to have something that actually fits my group and the congregation, instead of doing the old stuff that I used to do, and lament the fact that I don't have a big choir that can do that anymore.
We will certainly pray for that, Eva. And I genuinely, deeply support you with my creative passion. Okay?
I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I see that Anthony has signed on. Hi, Anthony.
Hello. Hi, Glenda. Hi, calling with a bunch of gratitude this week. I had the flu this week. I'm still recovering from it.
I can hear
and,
that.
Yeah, it really hit me pretty hard. And I was kind of suffering with it, was resisting it. And after about the first night, I had this, you know, gentle little insight about the AIDS. The attitude about, you know, dealing with things that are difficult. And, I've had, other insights like that when I've gone through difficult things, and it just shifted it immediately. As soon as I kind of got into the place where I was just more accepting of what was going on and not resisting it, very
mm-hmm.
quickly the whole thing, shifted and transformed. So I still had to kind of ride through a lot of the illness for the last couple of days, but it's been getting better and better, easier ever since. So I just want to express some gratefulness for that experience. And
I think that's, you know, I think it's really good to express gratefulness in the midst of trouble, because even in the midst of trouble, there's always something good.
Yes.
Something we could learn, something that's coming in to teach us a lesson, something that's coming in to console us, or discovering some kind of inner strength in ourselves, or some power of recovery. There's always something good that we can offer gratitude for. Now, it says in the Bible that as we offer gratitude, our prosperity and well-being are magnified. And I don't think that's because God needs praise. I think because we need to be reminded of that which is good, because when we focus upon that which is good, it multiplies. And then it multiplies and overwhelms and overtakes the challenge.
Makes sense.
Okay. Tony, can you, am I coming across okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. All right. Well, thank you for sharing that, and I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you very much.
And we'll put you on our blessing list to feel even better than that. Okay? All right. And we have a wireless caller. You're on.
Hi, Glenda. It's Desmond. Thank you so much for your blessing last week. And I had a talk with Chris last week, and we were talking about the Sacred Heart, and I just felt led every time to go into my heart, and sometimes I get frustrated or something like that, but when I can feel the strength in my heart, that's really kind of like what Yeshua's main teaching about, like the Sacred Heart and just being there is prayer.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And thank you for being such a heart-centered person, because you draw me into my heart with your group and all the blessings that you do.
You're so welcome, and thank you. I really, really admire and appreciate you too, Desmond.
Thanks, Glenda.
Okay, and June, I just opened your line.
Hi, Glenda. It's June from Massachusetts. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing okay. Calling to ask a blessing for my sister who needs a hip replacement, and you know, for me, I'm in the process of moving and looking for the next place. So, I'm a new blessing giver, and I'm finding a lot of strength and help from the being able to give the blessings as well as receive them.
Oh, it does make a difference, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
We learn things about ourselves that we've never known before. Because we get out of the clutter. life can become very cluttered.
Yes.
You know, a life can look like a roadway that's got litter on it, and how much different it looks after they clean up the litter and mow the lawns.
That's such a, it's so funny you say that. My sister's helping a dear friend of hers, you know, with his, he's got a clutter problem, and he's got a hoarding problem, and he's,
oh dear,
through it. You know, no, it just seems very common that people express something through what we hang on to. And
absolutely, and there are many people in that condition.
Yes, we all
and
are in some
even
form.
If we don't see it in the material things around us, we can have a lot of clutter inside us.
Exactly.
And one thing I have noticed as a blessing giver is that it cleans up all the clutter.
Well, this is I'm going to be thinking about that. That is such a cool way of, you know, focusing on, paying attention to how this affects me and.
Good.
Good,
because when we offer blessing, you know, of course our attention is outward. It's on that which we are giving to. But the only way we can convey the Holy Spirit and the presence of Christ is to empty ourselves. And the part of ourself that is our true soul is already empty, not in the sense of being a vacuum, but in the sense of being uncluttered. The only thing that the only trash baskets that need to be taken out are the clutter. And slowly by slowly, every time we offer a blessing, we take out a little more trash out of our own world.
Yeah, in a kind of releasing way, you know.
Without ever having to judge it or say that was bad or why did I keep that.
Right.
It's like turning on a vacuum cleaner and you don't even, to use a metaphor, when I vacuum my floors, which right now is not as often as I should, but anyway, I don't first of all get down on the floor and inspect every spot I'm going to pull up. I just turn on the vacuum cleaner and let it do its work. Well,
I think that's pretty fascinating. Thank you.
And that's what we do as blessing givers, but it's also how receiving the blessing works. You can put your attention through prayer, and we encourage you to, on that which you most need. But the vacuum cleaner comes in, and it removes what's ready to be released. And sometimes what's ready to be released is not exactly what you wanted. But by releasing what's ready to be released, it gives more space and more energy for healing and removing of the things your attention is stuck on.
Can't be better. Can't be better than that. I'm going to enjoy this a lot. I think I really need the vacuum cleaner. So.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Well, my dear, thank you for speaking and letting us know how you're doing. We have a couple of more people I need to take the calls on.
Okay.
We have a wireless caller from area code 413.
Hi, Glenda. This is Sarah from California.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. I first just want to express I just feel so much gratitude to have this beloved community and this call. And I just, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's
a
blessing to me, too.
So I want to ask for two blessings specifically. One also has to do with a baby, and I just so appreciated the baby dear story. My sister, so beautiful. My sister, I call her my sister, she's one of my best friends, and she just texted me that she went into labor this morning.
Oh.
Her water broke this morning, and she reached out and asked me to support her, and so I did, I am myself all day, and I asked that you and ask Yeshua and the community to hold her. Her name is Molly.
Molly, okay.
Yeah.
And the baby, is it a boy or a girl? Do they know?
He's a boy.
It's a boy, okay. And do we have a name for him yet?
Not that he's shared yet.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but.
And baby boy.
They're a team. They're doing it. And then I want to ask a blessing for my heart as well, that I really want to be able to feel my emotions more, and I just have been so afraid to feel, especially the painful ones, and I know that's the way through, is to feel them and release them. So I just want to ask a blessing to open my heart and allow me to feel whatever I'm feeling.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome. You're welcome. And we have Jean Marie. Hi, Jean Marie.
Hi, Glenda. Yes, I've been having trouble with a rotator cuff situation, and the physical therapy it doesn't seem to be helping very much. If you could just shine the light on that situation for me for improvement, actually.
Okay.
total healing. I'll take that.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we will remember you in our blessing. And I just wanted to share a few thoughts, a few inspirational thoughts. Today, before we move into the blessing, we've got a few minutes, about 7 minutes before we get there, which is just about perfect. So what I'm already doing my notes to use a parallel to writing music and books. They don't all get written at one time under heavy pressure. Sometimes they are written over a period of time. And I'm working on our next webinar right now, and I like to get started with a lot of lead time, because so much of what I work with, giving information and inspiration and guidance from Yeshua and the Holy Spirit in our webinars, it builds. It doesn't always come just at once. And I think that's true of a lot of things that we create. I know that something even as simple as a menu for dinner. I get up in the morning and the last thing I want to think about is dinner. But while I'm getting breakfast, I look through the refrigerator to see what we might already have on hand that might spark some ideas. And if there's nothing there, then I just, at least I know I've got to start from scratch. Don't think about it again until I start lunch. Okay, I'm doing some lunch and I'm thinking, well, let's see. Am I going to grocery shop? I guess I do have to grocery shop today. I start building a list of things that we need at the grocery store, and that builds ideas. And then I go there and I see what's available. And out of what's available, then I put together what's possible. You see, even something as mundane and as ordinary as a dinner menu, we usually don't just build it in one step. We move toward it in layers of either development or accumulation, ideation, or revelation. And this is exactly what our next webinar is going to be focused on. It's called Revelations and Recovery. And we're going to actually study in depth, from a modern perspective, the book of Revelations and what it might mean on more than just the timely admonition that Christ made to the apostles concerning their life, because it did have that very, he knew that it was just a short time before the Romans would completely decimate Jerusalem, which they did, and he was giving them fair warning of things that were to come. But in the same way he spoke in parables, he taught on many levels all at one time. This is why you can go back and read Love Without End 100 times and you keep finding things that apply to your life now that didn't apply to your life 10 years ago. That's the way he teaches, and that's the way he guides me. And it's also, for the most part, the way he heals. Now, we do know of some miraculous, some miracle healings that were legendary and told over and over again and then written into the New Testament. And they were really demonstrations of the power of God moving through him, because he needed to make a point. He only had so many days on this earth. to get the attention, the confidence, and the faith of the apostles, and to get the congregations of people who would be listening to them and hearing from them focused in their attention. So he did some pretty dramatic things, like walking on water and raising Lazarus from the dead. He did some pretty dramatic things. But most of what he did were more along the lines of his parable, his other parables about the seeds, about the talents, about the watchful guardians, and the parable about the vineyard and cultivating the trees in the orchard, and which would probably mostly have been olives, but also, of course, they grew all kinds of fruit trees and nut trees in that area, and they all had to be pruned and cultivated. Most of his teaching, most of it, I would say 90% of it, was actually tuned toward the miraculous revelations that occur in the process of cultivating life. This is what Eva just revealed about her wanting to write music, sitting down to write the music, not exactly having the words yet, but the words will come, wanting to do more will come. It's the miracle that we find in cultivating. And the interesting thing that happens as we cultivate our life in positive ways is that at every level, we have new revelations about what's possible, new revelations about directions we might not have even thought about until we had more confidence. See, sometimes we are the ones that undermine our ability to see down the road by not seeing what's possible. After we've driven 7 miles down the road, where are we? Are we where we want to be, or have we now come to a bend in the road that gives us a new opportunity? Well, that's the kind of revelation that you need to be looking for. And this is why I really encourage you to come to the blessing over and over. And of course, this is the great blessing that blessing givers receive in the process of offering the blessing and then in teaching the blessing. And by the way, to those of you online who are blessing givers, we are going to be scheduling a blessing teachers seminar very soon. So watch your emails for that. Those of you who are ready to become blessing teachers, we want to move you up to the next level so that you can be teaching more people how to offer the blessing in your area. You know, I want to meet all of you. I really want to work with all of you personally. But I know that sometimes your conditions in life, your economics in life, and your ability to break loose for a 4-day weekend make it virtually impossible to travel to where I am. At least more than once, it really becomes difficult. And I do not want this to become a barrier for the blessing training to spread. It needs to be growing, and especially around the world. So we want more blessing teachers, and I'm looking forward to working with you on that. So that was just a little sideline announcement. But I really wanted to say something that I think is very, very important. And that is that sometimes when bad things happen, or at least we think they're bad, it could be a loss of a relationship. It could be a death in the family. It could be the loss of an opportunity, a job. It could be a hardship. It could be physical pain. But sometimes the things that we are looking at externally have an internal hook. It's kind of like Velcro. You know, if you take a piece of Velcro and you try to hook it on to a mirror, it won't stick. Or a window pane, it won't stick. It needs a companion piece of Velcro in order to stick. And that companion piece of Velcro doesn't exactly look like, the two sides don't exactly look like each other. They're just similar enough in texture, and they're connected enough in function that they can hook. You know, sometimes there's only a superficial resemblance to what the hook is. Let's just say, you know, I'll give you an example of a counseling session that I did about a year ago, not mentioning any names whatsoever, but it was a marriage breaking up, and it probably was a good thing because it had never really been a very happy or very productive marriage, and the two parties really had very little in common, mentally, spiritually, or even in their work. They had married young as teenagers, had children, and they became invested in raising their children. When the empty nest happened, that was an opportunity for them to look at their life and reevaluate their life. And I really think they did the best thing by having a commendable breakup. But strangely enough, it hurt one of them a lot. That's why I was counseling her, because it hurt her a lot. And I'm just going to call her Gail. It's not her name, but I'm just going to call her Gail. And I would look at the things. I would say, Gail, let's look at what hurts, what really hurts. And she couldn't find anything until all of a sudden she remembered when she was a little girl. She was 7. Her parents had a bitter divorce that was harmful to everyone in their family. And she had to go live with her grandparents because her mother became so depressed she couldn't take care of her. She couldn't take care of the children. And the father just went off and lived a lost life. They didn't see him for years. So she has been grieving ever since. Well, that was the Velcro. That was the hook. Once we got her through that hook, we didn't get all of that cleared up because that was really a lot of work for her to do, and I gave her a number of assignments. We set up a sequence of things that she could do to clear up and clean up the grief and the loss from her past. But what happened almost immediately is that she had no pain anymore on her current ending marriage that really was a good thing. And she could actually be happy about it and have a new life. So that is one of the things I wanted to tell you about, that sometimes we need to just release and take a look at what's underneath. Because the hook that's underneath something may be a great deal more traumatic and painful than the superficial event we're looking at right now. For example, we might have a shortage of income. And believe me, I know how that feels. But for me, there really is, there's no great pain on it and no great fear, because there's nothing underneath it. There's nothing underneath it. There was not a time when I went into abject poverty. And because of that, lost friends and family and became ill. But there are people who do have underlying situations. And so when they lose a job in present time, it hurts. And it hurts so badly, they can't go get a new one. So this is the way the blessing works, is that the first time through, it may just help you release the superficial situation that's hooked on the Velcro. Look. And then what may be revealed after that point is what you need to look at next. There may be layers and layers underneath that, which can be relieved one layer at a time as you go through them. Eventually, you see, you'll get to the point where there is nothing you can't handle. Nothing. Absolutely nothing you cannot handle if you have faith and if you have a heart that has good cheer and can access your talents and can nourish the seeds of opportunity that come your way, and you can continue to recover. Because your recovery happens when wholeness is restored. It's only the shadows that hide the broken pieces that keep you from putting the wholeness back in place. But as we offer blessing after blessing after blessing, as you cultivate your strength and nurture yourself, you put back your wholeness. And in that process, you will get answers to questions that will then propel your life forward and allow you to gain more wholeness. The fact is, our life is defined by what we consider to be most important. That's a fact. Every psychologist and psychologist would confirm that. Every medical doctor would confirm that. Every social scientist would confirm that. Not only about people they counsel, but whole communities. Every community designer would confirm that. Our life is defined by what we consider most important. If we consider the hurt of our life most important, it will define our life. If it defines our life, guess what you'll get more of? You see, what we want to do in the blessing is to change the definition of your life by giving you an opportunity every Sunday to see something better, to take off layer after layer after layer, so that even if bad things happened in the past, they don't so much define your life anymore. And here's another thing, another little clue, and that is when those bad things that happened no longer define your life, you can find answers and solve them more easily. It's very, very difficult to solve the problems that define your life. You could take that one to the bank. Actually, you could take that to the psychiatrist's couch, and the first thing they would try to do is to get you to not define your life by it, because they know you're not going to be able to deal with it until you no longer define your life by it. They'll get you off of that definition point. And that's the first thing they have to do. It's the first thing any counselor has to do, is find out what you're defining your life by. And that's where you work from. So, when we offer the blessing, we are going to suspend all of those hurtful moments and hurtful situations and challenges and worries and fears for a moment, for 3 minutes while the energy flows, and for another 7 minutes while we just continue to receive. We're going to suspend all of that, and we're going to allow Yeshua and His love and the Holy Spirit and its wisdom and God the Father and His grace to redefine our life. And we're going to be filled with that redefinition so that it can lift us into a place where answers and revelations and solutions and inspirations are truly, truly possible. So it's time that we began. I don't like to go way over the mark because people are waiting who can't be on the call. So let us begin with our blessing now. Those who are here to receive, just be seated. Arms and legs uncrossed. Let your attention fall into your heart and just be there. Allow your heart to be the center of your life. And allow your life as much as you can to be a void that can be filled. I will say my invocation to Yeshua, and then we will conduct the blessing while you say your prayer and receive. Let us begin. Yeshua, Lord of life, brother of us all, friend who walked among us, who let us know that we are human and yet godlike within. When that seed is planted and cultivated, and you showed us how the presence of God within can transcend the mortality of life, we have faith that we can make progress in that direction. Even though we may not completely conquer the mortality of life as you did, at least in this life, we can make progress in that direction. We can let go of the events that have captured us and made us feel less than we are, that have cost us our confidence and our faith. Help us to have the miracle of renewed faith today. Help us to have the miracle of renewed confidence that we may begin winning again in life, that we may begin succeeding again and more powerfully in life. We thank you for your love, all of your teaching, and for leading us forward always into what we can be more of and how we can stride through life better. We ask all of this in your glorious name. Amen.
Amen. Your blessing is complete. Now go and rest and receive for at least 7 minutes. You're very loved. And I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.